Hello, hello, and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, why is it that despite all of the negative consequences for females, I'm thinking cologne and so on, of large numbers of young male migrants coming into Europe, why is it that it seems to be overwhelmingly females that are so in favour of this? Why do you find so many females helping out, trying to assist these young male migrants making their way into Europe? By the end of this video, we will have an answer to that question. And I was inspired to look at this by a BBC video entitled Desperate Journeys.
Italy's Prime Minister has warned that Europe will be overwhelmed by migration unless the EU finds solutions. Italy currently receives the highest number of people smugglers' boats carrying asylum seekers and other migrants in Europe. At 133,000, the number of arrivals is nearly double that of last year. But many of the migrants then aim to travel north to countries like Germany, France or the UK. Our correspondent Mark Lowen has been to two different locations along the French-Italian border where migrants are attempting to cross.
And they interview, they have one young girl called Eleanor, a young Italian girl who speaks very good English, and she's working for a charity, and that charity's job basically is to help to facilitate illegal migration. What they do is they help to ensure that these young male supposed refugees, economic migrants, whatever you want to call them, are able to successfully illegally cross the border between Italy and France via the mountains. And the BBC correspondent puts it to her that you are encouraging illegal, ironically a BBC correspondent, that you are encouraging illegal migration, to which she responds, if you see somebody that needs something, or if you know which are the risks in the mountains because you know the mountains and you live here, can you allow people to walk in the mountains like this?
Volunteer Elena says the Italian police seem to turn a blind eye.
They know exactly what we do here. They know exactly what these people are here for. So it's like a game somehow. They know, but they pretend not to know.
There would be some people who would say you are encouraging illegal migration.
If you see somebody that needs something, or if you know which are the risks in the mountains, because you know the mountain and you live here, and can you allow people to walk in the mountain like this?
And when she gets to the point of saying, can you allow people to walk in the mountains like this, she becomes so emotional that she, for a moment, for a split second, she sort of looks away from the camera because she's concerned she's going to break down, because she's so overwhelmed by these feelings that she must help these these young men. Now, this got me thinking of, well, why is this the case? And I think that a possible answer presents itself if you look at various interesting studies. One of these is, are new children the surrogate role of companion animals in women's lives, which was published by W.G. Turner in the Qualitative Report. And what it did was it went through all of the research it could find, which interviewed women on their relationships with their pets. And what it found was that the women who are single and the women who do not have children have extremely strong relationships with their pets, to the extent that they regard their pets as their own children, to the extent that they will sign Christmas cards and whatever from themselves and their pet, and that when the pet dies, when the pet has to be euthanized, they talk about it being like losing a child, and they are absolutely devastated. As far as they are concerned, these pets are their actual babies, and they bring them up and treat them in exactly this way. This is found to be much less the case among men. Men are much harsher when it comes to their pets. It's a pet animal, it's lovely, it's fun, it's great having a dog, whatever. It dies, and that's unfortunate. It is the women who treat these pets, particularly women that don't have their own children, or women whose children have left the nest, but in particular women that do not have children. The pets become a very strong baby substitute. Now, this, of course, as we will see in a minute, starts to make sense in evolutionary psychological terms. Another interesting study was one which myself and Guy Madison did, which was a study on transracial adoption. Who engages in transracial adoption? Well, the overwhelming proportion of people that engage in transracial adoption are women. It is men that engage in adoption more than women, but that's because That's because a lot of men will get married to a woman that already has children and adopt her children as their own. So forget that. I'm talking about adopting completely unrelated people, indeed people of a different race. Transracial adoption, in which there is no evolutionary interest, really, in bringing up the child. You're bringing up a child that is very, very genetically different from you. And what you find is that transracial adoption is predicted by being female, by being white, and by being of high socioeconomic status. But it's noteworthy that it is very much predicted by being female, and where you get singletons that engage in transracial adoption, these will be single, overwhelmingly single females. Now, if we then look at some of the research on how refugees are viewed, and there's a lot of left-wing groups and so forth that have done research on this and have interviewed people, including women, about how they view refugees. The same kind of statements come up again and again and again. Refugees, including male refugees, are viewed, male grown-up refugees, are viewed as childlike and needful, according to a book, Departures, An Introduction to Critical Refugee Studies. Migratory Timescapes by Isabel Everett talks about how they are seen as childlike. They are infantilized and they are perceived as in great need of protection. Other studies like this, left-wing studies, by qualitative studies, when they interview women who are asked about their feelings towards refugees, they are helpless and childlike. They are in a childlike position in the Western imagination. Analysis of how they are portrayed in the media in Central Europe, they are childlike. They are childlike and innocent. Now, what is this going to induce in females? Let us understand from an evolutionary perspective the position of the young female, the female in her 20s. She is evolved, she is adapted at that age to be a mother. In our evolutionary past, by the time you were that age, you were a mother. So she should be a mother, and you would expect her to have the instincts, the broodiness, whatever you want to call it, the instincts to be a mother. And in the absence of an actual child, you would expect her to find something to mother. In addition, females are very high in a desire to nurture, what is known as a K strategy. Simple as that, a desire to nurture. We are all on a spectrum from a desire to nurture at one extreme, from a desire to simply have sex at the other extreme. A desire to nurture for nurture's sake. And that's what you are seeing. There is no evolutionary, or very little evolutionary benefit to getting a pet animal, other than that it makes you feel happy and it calms you down and whatever. You're not actually helping to pass on your own genes, are you? You're helping, to the extent that you're passing on genes, to pass on the genes of a different species. So it's an evolutionary mismatch, but you have these very strong instincts to nurture, and the animal allows you to do that. Similarly, with adoption, and particularly transracial adoption, you are not helping to pass on your... It doesn't help your genetic interests. It's helping the genetic interests of somebody else, somebody who is of a different racial group, i.e. somebody that is genetically substantially very different, distant from you, that you are doing this anyway because you have this overwhelming desire to nurture. And females, of course, and particularly females of that age, that young age, have an overwhelming desire to nurture. And so it follows that if there is something nurturable about refugees, which there seems to be because of the way that they are described as innocent and childlike, then, of course, this is going to be attractive to young women such as Eleanor from Italy, to the extent that she may even be prepared to break the law or engage in lawfully questionable activity in order to help essentially nurture these young male migrants. She is seeing them on some level as baby substitutes, and they are. And so this would help. This is one key explanation, I think, for why so many females are supportive and indeed become involved to this extent. I mean, there was a case in Sweden of them trying to deport a refugee. And there was a young Swedish girl with the dyed green hair who blocked the plane and who stopped the plane from taking off just so they couldn't deport this refugee who had turned out had been found guilty of sexual assault or something awful like that. So they are so nurturable that even the fact that they engage in criminal activity is not enough to destroy this instinct in females. In fact, I hear there have been cases in Sweden of females who have been sexually assaulted but who haven't reported it to the police because of these feelings of guilt or whatever about getting this, well, let's face it, this nurturable person in trouble. So the refugee crisis is perhaps as heightened as it is because it induces in females who don't have children and who increasingly don't have children at that age because they are delaying their fertility, particularly middle-class educated women. They are delaying having children. So at the age that they should be mothers, they are not yet mothers, and it induces these mothering instincts in them. And precisely because there are so many women now that are in their 20s and 30s and don't have children, those mothering instincts have to go somewhere. And in some cases, they're going to go to cats and dogs. In some cases, they're going to go to transracial adoption or whatever. But in the absence of those things, it seems that they are going to go to young male migrants.
Are you ready for the future of the West? Do you find it offensive that I even asked you that question?